Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com. Craig Mitch, David Maddock, every day from noon to 2 Eastern here on SportsGrid. We're talking fantasy. That's what Davis and I do here on Mondays. We recap everything that happened on Sunday in fantasy football. Normally on Tuesdays, we recap Monday Night Football. Of course, I'll be here with George Kurtz. Davis fills in with George for me on Wednesday because I'm hosting the Sunday show. But thanks for all of you who have watched all season long. We'll continue to help you out and help you win your fantasy league, no doubt. Here are headlines as we begin the show here on FST's Monday edition. The Monday Night Football game, Saints at Seahawks, Saints -4.5. I need Winston under 22 points in fantasy tonight to come out with a victory. Some wins I see maybe in the game tonight, too. I'll have to look into that. All right, the World Series begins tomorrow night. Full preview on tomorrow's show for sure. Houston and Atlanta, very much looking forward to this game. Looking forward to see what happens. Two good teams going to the World Series. Hey, let's not forget about the NBA. Blazers, Clippers tonight, 9-game NBA slate. And Alabama jumps over Oklahoma in the AP Top 25. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Oklahoma did not have a good showing against Kansas, where they were in jeopardy in the first half. It looked like a losing the game. And then, of course, they did what most people do against Kansas, which is just come back and smash them, which is kind of the way it played out. Davis, what do you think about the World Series, though? Who do you like here in this one? Feels like a lot of uncertainty on both sides. I mean, Houston's got the hitting. The Braves have the pitching. The Braves are just, like, riding that momentum. I mean, Astros on paper look like the better team. Paper never wins these World Series. Remember Washington with that crazy run ended up winning the World Series a couple of years ago, and now the Braves are trying to sort of ride that wave.
Yeah, so I have not looked at the series price. Have you? Do you know what it is?
Houston's favored.
Okay, so I was going to say, I bet that Houston is like -175 to win. There you go, -150. Brett says so. We're pretty close. I was going to have us do a little bit of closer to the pin in there. I am definitely on the Astros side here. Of course, you're right. The Braves have gotten better pitching results thus far, but you know there always is a difference between how teams are going to project and the results they get. And if the Braves find themselves giving up any of that pitching advantage as a result of just what happens and the Astros are scoring 4.5 or 5 runs per game, then we are definitely going to see, I think the Astros would win. I mean, that's not a hot take, they're favored, but I think that the Astros can can handle business here, which is a bummer because I don't really care about either of these teams. I suppose, you know, I don't find this to be the most compelling way that the season would have ended. But it's not bad. It's good World Series baseball.
Oh, I mean, look, Charlie Morton used to pitch for Houston. He's the game one pitcher now for the Atlanta Braves. I mean, that's, you know, an interesting story. Houston 1-8, maybe the best lineup in the American League, are to argue with that right now. Toronto would certainly, you know, have their way around it. But does Houston have the pitching at this point? Remember, you know, Greinke is not himself. There is no Verlander. You know, Gerrit Cole long gone. Framber Valdez, who's pitched fantastic, make no mistake about it. They're going to ask him to pitch three games in a seven-game series and win a World Series. Luis Garcia had a good night the other night, too. So, look, I'm interested. I think it'll be fun for sure. Okay, let's dive into Monday night's game here a little bit. Now, I read something right before we came on the show because, again, I'm nervous tonight, you know, only being up 22 against Winston, who's gone over 22 points. I looked at it in 6 weeks twice, or 5 weeks twice. The other three times were just way under. That there is some wind involved in this game tonight. I don't know that to be true, Davis. And the last time I saw wind, I saw Kyler Murray not caring about that in Cleveland. So I don't know that that is a huge factor in this. But just two teams I don't really feel that great about. I think it could go either way. Seattle rallied last week to at least cover against Pittsburgh. But, I mean, I can't look at the Saints and think that they're going to dominate anybody. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Seahawks defense is terrible. And Sean Payton, he had the bye week. He's had time to, you know, watch the film. Okay, this is what we're doing well in offense. This is what we're doing poor. Jameis Winston leads the NFL in percentage of his throws that have gone for touchdowns. I believe he only has 3 turnovers on the year. That is a huge improvement over, you know, Jameis Winston and the last time that we saw him in Tampa Bay throwing 30 interceptions. They have Alvin Kamara, one of the best running backs in football. They are just going to run the ball. They are going to play good defense, and I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, we're going to see 8 men in the box on defense. We're going to see the safeties playing up in the box, and the New Orleans Saints are going to say, look, you know, we will give you the deep throws. We'll give you DK Metcalf one-on-one versus our cornerbacks. We'll give you Tyler Lockett one-on-one versus our corners. But the hitch in that problem is you got to make the throws, right? You can leave DK Metcalf one-on-one down the field all night long, but if Geno Smith is not going to pull the trigger, now Geno Smith, if he does, right, if the Seahawks come into this game and they say, all right, we're not running into 8 men, we're going to lots of play action, we are going to throw the ball when the defense is asking us to throw the ball, it could be anyone's game. I could see the Seahawks winning this game outright, but My thing is I have no faith in Pete Carroll to do that. I think Pete Carroll will go the other way and say, oh, you have 8 men in the box. We're going to run it into your 8 men, and we're going to show you that we can execute more. So I have the Saints here.
Yeah, and I think, look, Seattle runs every game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
So they're going to try and do that again tonight, but we'll see. We'll see if the weather is a factor for sure. This is one that I'll be watching on Monday Night Football. I'll have some interest there, so I'll check it out, no doubt. All right, there are one team left in the NFL that's undefeated. It's the Arizona Cardinals. They had their way with Houston in the second half. We'll get to it next. Stay on the grid. Break.
We're a different kind of sports talk, not just SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The Arizona Cardinals were virtually three touchdown favorites at kickoff against the Houston Texans. And in the first half, it looked a little dicey. But then Kyler Murray and the team got alive in the second half and took care of business. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts on the Arizona Cardinals side yesterday in their win over Houston. Kyler Murray, 20 of 28, 261 passing yards, 10 rushing yards, and three touchdowns. Also one interception. So strong game once again for him. Chase Edmonds, 81 on the ground, mostly in the second half, one reception and 9 yards. James Conner gets in the end zone again, 62 rushing yards and a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins, 7 receptions, 53 yards and a score. And then perhaps one of the best signs of them all, Zach Ertz, a long touchdown in this game, 3 catches, 66 yards immediately, a part of Arizona's offense. We'll monitor him for sure going forward. Now, on the side of Houston, much ado about nothing. We're almost at the point where no one is playable on the Houston Texans. I don't ever remember that on a fantasy team that you literally cannot play anyone. Davis Mills, 22 of 32, 135. David Johnson just keeps going out there and doing nothing. 25 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 27 receiving yards. Mark Ingram, 9 rushing yards. Why are we even doing this? We should just go away from this. Brandon Cooks, 5 receptions, 21 yards. This is like the worst graphic you could ever ask for a fantasy football team. Houston came out of the gate, Davis. They won the first game. They look great. Anything can happen. It's like April baseball. You know, anything can happen in the first couple weeks of the season. But now Houston is just completely done. Probably won't win a game, I would guess, the rest of the season. So just time to fade them. And whoever goes up against them, you're going to do well.
Yeah, I mean, basically picking against the Houston Texans has kind of been the it's just what everyone in Survivor picks against the Texans or picks against the Jets and moves on after that. The one thing that is a bummer about the Arizona Cardinals has been that DeAndre Hopkins has seen his target share, you know, pretty much go from, you know, 28%, 29% to, I mean, he basically is being targeted like Robert Woods. I mean, he just has gotten lucky with the touchdowns that he's been able to get. 47 targets through 7 games. That's only 11 more than Christian Kirk, 12 more than AJ Green, 13 more than Chase Edmonds, and Rondale has 31, but also the 9 carries, which means that Rondale is actually second on the team in wide receiver touches. So all of these guys in 12-team PPR leagues, Hopkins, Kirk, Rondale, and AJ Green, I actually think all of them are startable, especially now that we're in the bye weeks. We're dealing with injuries. So the combination of injuries and bye weeks, you know, Russell Gage or AJ Green, right? I mean, I would probably just take the Cardinals wide receiver, just given that the Cardinals like score 30 points every single week. But thinking about things moving forward, you know, it's not really going to get better for any of them because Ertz is now here. He only played 49% of the snaps yesterday. That was his first game with the new team. You know, wouldn't expect him to play all the snaps or anything like that. But it's just a little weird to see DeAndre Hopkins for the first time in his career playing with this many other talented players, right? That was never the case in Houston. Will Fuller, when he was healthy, Fuller would have like a 22% target share, but Hopkins would still get his. He's never been in offense with this many talented guys. And then the other thing, Craig, is Kyler Murray is just not running the ball anymore. He has 43 rushes this year, 126 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. And this is my theory. He has been running way less because the games have just not mattered at all. They blow the Texans out. The game against the Browns was competitive for all of about 8 minutes. The 49ers game, I guess, was competitive, but basically the Cardinals were just saying they're never scoring 20 points. The 49ers with Lance, they're never scoring 20. They blow the Rams out. They blow the Jaguars out. The only game that they played that was competitive all year was against the Vikings. What would you guess? That was the most rushing attempts that Kyler Murray had in a game all year. So I actually think this has the possibility to get better because they play the Packers, they play the 49ers, they play the Rams twice, or one more time, and they play the Cowboys over the the next couple games. So I actually think Kyler Murray's rushing will regress positively a little bit.
That sounds right. Good theory there for sure. Yeah, the games have not been competitive in the ones that they've been in. All right, so we expected a non-competitive game between the Rams and Lions, and turns out the game was very competitive on Sunday. In fact, the Lions hung with them pretty much through three quarters. Rams went up. Lions did cover in the end. Matthew Stafford did pretty much what you thought he would do, 334 passing yards and three touchdowns. Great fantasy day. Quiet day for Darrell Henderson for sure, 45 rushing yards, just three catches, 19 yards. Cooper Kupp scooped up all the targets, 10 receptions on Sunday, 156 and two scores. He has been awesome this year. Van Jefferson also got in the end zone, four catches for 43 yards. Well, Jared Goff did throw a late interception, but he did keep the Lions in the game for the most part. 22 of 36. He threw for 268 passing yards, just one touchdown, and his interception ended the game. DeAndre Swift in the first half was great, and then kind of quiet in the second half. Eight receptions, 96 yards and a touchdown, also 48 rushing yards. Khalif Raymond, you talked about Boston Scott. My guess is Khalif Raymond is the wide receiver hot pickup this week. Six receptions, 115 yards there. And TJ Hockenson, well, I mean, what can you say? I mean, 10 fantasy points from a tight end, you'll take it. That's pretty much the story there. So the Rams basically gave what we thought they would if you own Stafford and if you own Kupp, but Woods went back to what he was a few weeks ago. Not much from Darrell Henderson. And just strange that the Rams didn't have their way with the Lions until they actually needed it. Very similar to, I guess, the Houston-Arizona game. Kind of felt like that.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the Lions kept themselves in this game, it really was incredible. So they scored the 62-yard touchdown with DeAndre Swift on their first drive. Then they do a surprise onside kick. They get the ball. Then they run a fake punt. They go down and get a field goal. This all happened. I think that there was 10 minutes off the clock before Matthew Stafford and the Rams even got the ball. Then later in the second quarter, they ran another fake punt. They used that to go down and get a field goal. So had any of those individual things been differently, right? DeAndre Swift gets tripped up and he goes for 30 yards instead of 62 yards. They don't get the onside kick. They get stuffed on the fake punt. If any of those things had happened, I think we're looking at a very different story for this game, you know, which I mean, which is not to say that, you know, that the Rams got unlucky or anything. You know, clearly the Lions came into the game with a very specific game plan to, you know, give it everything, you know, give it everything that they got. I just thought that that was I just thought that was sort of interesting. And the Lions actually they won the time of possession, 32 minutes and 40 seconds, 27 minutes and 20 seconds. And you know, if the Lions win the time of possession, they're probably not going to win very many games, but it's at least going to keep them from getting shellacked, allowed them to cover the spread here. You know, DeAndre Swift did his thing, 10 targets, led the Detroit Lions in targets. Cooper Kupp, 13 targets. Tyler Higbee, one of his best target games, doesn't really do anything with it, but did get 8 targets, 7 for Van Jefferson. Actually, a season-high 6 targets for Darrell Henderson, but just didn't score a touchdown in this game. If he scored a touchdown, he would have been fine. I think 2 carries for 4 yards for Sony Michel. So still feeling very, very good about Darrell Henderson in fantasy.
Is Cooper, if all things being equal, this continues like this for the Rams, is Cooper Kupp a first round pick in fantasy next year?
He's the first wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, he right now is on pace for like 2,100 yards and like 22 touchdowns or something. Like he would be like the number 4 overall pick, I think.
It's crazy. Yeah. Stafford's really changed them for sure. On the side of the Lions, we'll see what happens. They have not won a game this season. Covering spreads, they've been okay at that, but not winning any games, that's for sure. All right, coming up next, another game that was over as soon as the game went on TV yesterday. It was Bucks-Bears. This thing was just like 21-0 or 21-3 very quickly, and then it just ended. So we'll go through the fantasy standout from those teams. We've got some fantasy reality as well coming up, so make sure you stay on the grid with us. As a reminder, I'll be on the show tomorrow. George Kurtz will be in the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
House will take care of your NBA preview and also preview game one of the 2021 World Series. So stay on the grid. We got plenty more to come. We're back in just 2 minutes with our look at the later games in fantasy, including the Buccaneers and Bears. That's what's next here on Fantasy Sports Today. Break.
Giving you your U.S. recommended.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. If you're not following us on Twitter, what are you doing? Head on over there. It's free to download, of course, on any of your mobile devices. And follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. We're posting videos there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether it is the early line, the morning after, our show here, Fantasy Sports Today. Scott Farrell going coast to coast. Gabe Morency, Cam Stewart. What we're talking about, you can be watching, and it's completely free to download. Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Another blowout this weekend for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, courtesy this time of the Chicago Bears defense. It was over before it started. Tom Brady threw for four more touchdowns on his way to maybe another MVP this season, 211 yards. They even took him out of the game late. Leonard Fournette gets in the end zone again, 81 rushing yards, two receptions, 9 yards. Both Godwin and Evans heavily involved in the offense. Without Antonio Brown, they hit pay dirt. Godwin 8 for 111 in a score. And Mike Evans, 3 touchdowns for Tampa Bay yesterday, 6 catches, 76 yards. If you played against Mike Evans in fantasy, as they say, you probably lost. That's a guess. Now, on the other side of the field for the Bears, it was ugly again. Justin Fields is just having, let's just be honest, a rookie season, which has been miserable. 184 passing yards, 3 more interceptions, 38 rushing yards. Who knows how long they'll last with him. The good news is Khalil Herbert, if you played him yesterday, he came through. It looks really good. I wonder what will happen when Montgomery comes back. He had 100 on the ground, 5 receptions, 33 yards, back-to-back 100-yard games for him. Nothing from the receivers. Darnell Mooney, 2 for 39, and Cole Kmet, 5 for 43. Also, Damian Williams came off the COVID list, played a little bit in this game, but his role at this point, vastly unclear. But the Bucs are plug-and-play, Davis, at this point. I was stunned. I actually thought the Bears had a shot at this game going in. Silly me. It was just as ugly as it possibly can get. Bucs are just super dangerous still on offense. They have, like every team in a 17-game season, the Bucs are probably going to have 2 more games where they only score 2 touchdowns. But that was as dominant as a performance of any team in the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, they absolutely ran the Bears out of the building. Huge game for Mike Evans, big game for Chris Godwin. Leonard Fournette almost had a great game. He actually led all running backs in expected points yesterday, got stuffed on a first and goal run from the 1, lost 3 yards, and then Tom Brady targeted him in the end zone on third down, and Fournette dropped it. Had he secured either one of those, it was about a $22,000 swing for me. In DFS. Really, really would have preferred Leonard Fournette to hang on to one of those. But, regardless, pretty much every Buccaneers player usable in fantasy. Don't have an update on Rob Gronkowski yet, which I was kind of hoping for us to get one. I thought that we would get the Adam Schefter, Saturday night tweet where he tells us, he's missing this game, but he's hoping to be back for the next game. OJ Howard played 51% of the snaps, and Cameron Brate got four targets and played 55% of the snaps, didn't catch a pass. Nothing you guys really don't know about the Buccaneers. You start all the wide receivers. You can maybe start O.J. Howard or Cam Brate if you're desperate during the bye weeks. Leonard Fournette, you know, a huge win right now in fantasy football. On the Bears side, I guess I will note that despite getting absolutely shellacked in these games, Khalil Herbert has over 20 touches, three games in a row, played 77% of the snaps with Damian Williams off the COVID list, played 89% the week before. I think he has definitely earned a role in this offense even when David Montgomery comes back. The question is how they choose to allocate those touches between the two guys. And they play home to San Francisco, a team with four straight losses this week. I think that Herbert is going to be kind of an underlooked guy in fantasy this next week against San Francisco.
Yeah, he's looked excellent. And unfortunately for Damian Williams, you know, COVID kind of cost him, I think, the season, to be honest. One more week and then Montgomery comes back. I mean, who knows? I had to play him. And it was just a horrible decision. I had no choice when Waller went out and needed a flex. I had to throw him in, got a zero or one, whatever he got, two. All right, so Indianapolis, San Francisco. I was watching this game last night, tuned in for sure because of my guy Debo. I was watching and my son was like, who is this guy? He doesn't know a lot about football. He's like, who's this quarterback on Indianapolis that throws the ball to the other team? I'm like, yeah, no. But you know what? After that point, Carson Wentz looked pretty good. His stats ended up pretty solid. Started him in a league. He threw for 150 passing yards in the rain and three touchdowns, including one on the ground. One horrible interception for sure. Jonathan Taylor, 100 yards. Also scored a touchdown. Michael Pittman, very heavily involved in the offense. Four receptions, 105 and a score. And Mo Alie-Cox also scored a touchdown. Three receptions, 25 yards and a touchdown. Again, it was pouring rain for a lot of this game. And it affected San Francisco very clearly more than it did Indianapolis, because Jimmy Garoppolo put up more or less a dud outside of a drive in the first quarter and a drive in the fourth quarter. Garoppolo, 16 of 27, 181 passing yards, one touchdown, two big interceptions. Elijah Mitchell, solid on the ground again, 107 yards and a touchdown. Yes, maybe my best call ever, Debo Samuel. What a monster he has been for me this year. Seven receptions, 100 yards again, and a touchdown. And Charlie Warner, never heard of him until I saw him catch a pass last night. Two receptions and 30 yards after the game. Kyle Shanahan was asked about San Francisco's struggles on offense and basically what happened in the game outside of two drives.
We didn't get a big play in those others. We had a couple opportunities for them, didn't get them. On that first drive, we hit all of them. On that last drive, we hit all of them. Both of them, I believe, we avoided third down on all of them and got a bunch of explosives, and it seemed pretty easy. And it's tough to get explosives every drive. We had a few opportunities big time for it. I think one, we had a legal guy downfield. One, we had a holding, which I think we had Ayuk alone across the field, and it ended up getting tipped with the holding before he could let it go. So you come up short on those explosives, and when you don't get those explosives, you got to either move the chains running the ball, or you got to be able to do something on third down, and we didn't do anything on third down today.
It was really interesting. I saw a graphic yesterday posted that basically stated, I think NBC posted it, Davis, yesterday, that Carson Wentz has actually like been okay, like in terms of less interceptions and more yards per receptions. I was really stunned by that. And look, both teams had to play in that rain. The Colts played better. They probably could have one more win that was a loss. And yeah, on the other side of San Francisco, it's just get Trey Lance as healthy as you can. Let them go through these bumps in the road for San Francisco as they lose the rest of their games this season. And keep giving my guy Debo the ball. What a fantastic player Debo has turned out to be. If this guy, crossfinger, stays healthy, he's going to end up wide receiver one at the end of the year for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he will definitely be one of those huge profitable picks in redraft. I guess, you know, the biggest thing is coming into this year, Brandon Ayuk was actually going ahead of him in drafts, and the market was basically just saying, you know, we don't really know which one is going to be good. Debo had been injured the first 2 years of his career, got injured as a rookie, got injured his second year. Ayuk looked phenomenal, right? Remember the I don't remember who they were playing against on Sunday night, but Ayuk had that play where he hurtled over the defender, you know, just put his hand on the guy's helmet and hurtled right over him. So people were excited about Ayuk. And weirdly enough, Brandon Ayuk has actually played full complement of snaps each of the last two games, right? Over 70% of the snaps and has just done, he's done nothing with them. He just has not scored any points, not generated any targets. Debo has clearly been the alpha there. George Kittle, hopefully we get him back soon. Remains to be seen what happens to Ayuk and Debo's role when that happens. To me, Elijah Mitchell being clearly ahead of Jamichael Hasty was pretty interesting. And Trey Sermon, the third round draft pick, Craig, zero offensive snaps last night. Not a carry, not a touch. Did play 11 special team snaps, but just looks like it's pretty much not going to happen for Trey Sermon this year. And honestly, I mean, it could happen that a bunch of 49ers running backs get injured. And right, we've seen this happen with Jeff Wilson Jr. He was on the team for like 3 years. We saw this happen with Mostert. He banged around on the practice squad before getting his chance. But if you have Trey Sermon in your dynasty leagues right now, you have to feel pretty miserable about that decision. And you can cut Trey Sermon in your fantasy leagues as well. You are right about Carson Wentz, though. One of the numbers I use to look at for quarterbacks, you know, there are a lot of good ways to evaluate them, but one of my favorite is adjusted net yards per passing attempt, which is basically YPA, but it weights touchdowns, interceptions, the amount of times you get sacked and the yardage that you lose on each individual sack. And Carson Wentz is 11th best in that metric in the NFL. So on average, when you weight all those other things, when Carson Wentz drops back to pass, the Colts gain 7.5 yards. That's more than Lamar Jackson, more than Aaron Rodgers, more than Justin Herbert, more than Patrick Mahomes. So that is pretty surprising, because I guess when Wentz makes mistakes, they look awful. Like these interceptions that Wentz throws, it's like it looks like he's playing a different sport. Like looks like he thinks he's playing, you know, lacrosse or something. But hey, I mean, you know, the Colts, they can probably win this division, right? I mean, they're 3-4. The Titans are 5-2. But I think the Titans defense is so bad that they're going to end up kind of like the Jets game. They're going to lose games they have no business losing. You know, they beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs, but would not surprise me for the Titans to go on an extended losing streak.
Yeah, it could come down to head-to-head games with those two teams toward the end of the season, kind of like it did last year, too. And yeah, for San Francisco, you know, lost season. Let's just call it what it is. They went into the year with questions at quarterback. Lance, you know, didn't really play well when he got his opportunity. Jimmy G got hurt. But look, the way that Arizona's playing at this point, San Francisco's just kind of, I think, got to chalk this up. Give Lance the rest of the season to get it figured out, and then hopefully come into next year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Better quarterback. I could certainly see that happening for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for Fantasy or Reality. We're going to hear from Sam Darnold, the still quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. We'll ask the question, though, should he still be the quarterback? We'll have that for you next. Great.
Look, you have a simple...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We have someone listening to us here on Sports Grid Radio asking me if I'm playing them in a guillotine league here against Jameis Winston. I guess that this guy is up 22 points and or down 22 points playing with Winston tonight. No, I am not playing in any guillotine leagues this year in particular. Well, speaking of guillotine, I guess that's a little bit harsh, but that's kind of what happened yesterday to Sam Darnold. Another rough start. He's benched in the fourth quarter and was asked after the game about his confidence being shaken from happening.
I think, you know, when you get to that point of getting pulled, it's, you know, it's, I just internalize it. And, you know, honestly, it's one of those situations where, you know, it is what it is. And he thought at the time that, you know, that would provide a spark putting PJ in there. So, you know, it was his decision and he went with it.
What did you take away from it?
What's that?
What did you take away from the decision?
I mean, you know, I think that's kind of up to him. You know, whatever he thinks, you know, was the best decision. Ultimately, it's his decision. It's up to him. So, you know, I want to go out there. I want to play for my teammates and be out there as much as I can.
Sam, did I?
And, of course, after the game and this morning, Matt Rhule announced that Sam Darnold will start this week. That's where we'll begin in today's Fantasy of Reality.
All right, yeah, Sam Darnold has been announced as this week's starting quarterback, but our question revolves around the future and what will happen with Sam Darnold. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Sam Darnold deserves to be benched at quarterback in Carolina. Is this a fantasy or reality?
On the basis of his play, he probably does deserve to be benched. I mean, he has just simply not been good. And the weird thing is the Panthers do have talented players around him, right? The defense started out the year super hot against the Jets, the Saints, and the Texans. The defense played okay against the Eagles, and they were very bad against the Giants and against the Cowboys. But Darnold has 2-3 and an interception each of his last couple games. He's lost some fumbles. His YPA for the year is down to 6.8. And actually, his adjusted yards per attempt is as bad as it was his final year for the New York Jets. So it's been really uncomfortable. The main reason why, you know, it doesn't make that much sense to move on from him is that their option is P.J. Walker, who I like P.J. Walker, right? Because he was in the XFL. I love the XFL for the 4.5 weeks that it existed. I know Craig does not like the off-brand football, but I will actually never forget how good he was for the Houston Roughnecks throwing to Cam Phillips, who is also on the Carolina Panthers practice squad, funnily enough. I would probably like to see him get a game at some point, but they traded, it was a third round pick with conditions on it that can make it equal a second round pick. They're not going to win the division. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. You know, this is not their year. So they probably need to get as much of a sample for Sam Darnold as they can possibly get to help them. You know, do we draft a quarterback? Do we trade a quarterback? You know, do we sign Jameis Winston in the offseason? Do we sign Andy Dalton in the offseason? Whatever. And yeah, so I think he does probably deserve to be benched. That's a reality. But I think if I was running the team, I would still want him to be playing.
Yeah, I would say the same. I think that's a good way to put it. He does deserve to be benched. They brought Walker in. He played horribly. And I think that probably, you know, turned the light on a little bit more. I think the Panthers, Davis, are very close. I love their receivers. Their offensive line is good. Their defense has been much better. You know, McCaffrey, when he's healthy, Hubbard's actually looked okay. I love the coaching with Rhule. I love the coaching with Brady. I mean, I hate to pin it all on one guy, but I think you got to do it here. You know, I think that they made the wrong choice. They probably should have kept Bridgewater. He's probably not much better than Sam, but he's probably a little bit better, which would have made them a 500 team or better. And then you could have seen them next year really be a contender in the NFL. A lot of talent there. And he's just not played well at all. So I think that they're going to do better than the quarterbacks you mentioned, better than Winston, better than Dalton. I think that they're going to surprise people. I don't know if it's Watson. I don't know if it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if it's, you know, someone else that we're not discussing, a draft pick of some kind. Maybe they move up, they get Matt Corral, they start him next year. I don't know. But this guy, Joe Brady, is too good to have this happening to that offense. And I'm a believer in him and the things that he's done with Burrow and Teddy last year, too. So, yes, he deserves to be benched. But you're right, Davis. There really is no other option. They got to roll him out there again. I cannot believe this is going to be a lost season for the Panthers, but it feels like it's trending that way.
All right. Our next question. Davis, unfortunately, isn't with us tomorrow, Craig. So we got to do our World Series predictions today. The Astros are favorites. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. The Houston Astros will win the World Series. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Fantasy. I'm going to take the Braves to win the World Series here. I don't know. It feels to me a lot like the Washington Nationals of 2019, where the Nationals struggled in the first half. They came alive in the second half. Everything went their way. They really had no business winning the World Series. And they did. And I'm going to go the same way here. The Braves look like a team of destiny. They have the hottest player on the planet, Nedy Rosario. That is true. I mean, he is hotter than anybody on Houston. They got Charlie Morton for 3 games. He's always a big game pitcher. Ian Anderson's pretty good, too. They are undermanned, without a doubt. Houston is the better team offensively. It's not particularly close, especially without Ronald Acuna playing. But has that mattered? No. Jock Peterson gets hot. He hits a couple of home runs. I'm going to go with the narrative here that the hottest team in October wins the World Series. It's not to say that Houston isn't hot, because they are, but the story is on the side of the Braves, and I'm going to pick the Braves to win the World Series in 6 games.
I'm going to go the other way. I mean, I don't actually disagree with anything that Craig said. It's kind of fun to take the other way. So this is why I am going to go the other way. The Astros are the better hitting team. And all things being equal, normally when I would head into a series, I would say, having good hitters is always nice, but you normally would take the team with dominant starting pitching. I don't really think that either of these teams have dominant starting pitching, right? You know, the Braves are, they have good arms and they got very good results with pitching earlier in the year, but their rotation is going to be Max Fried, Ian Anderson, Charlie Morton. Maybe we get, you know, a bullpen game or something like that at some point, or one of these guys comes in on 3 days of rest. For the Astros, I don't think anyone would argue, you know, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Yordan, Carlos Correa, that's about as good as it's going to get, 1 through 5. And they have Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, and Zach Greinke, who are all expected to take the mound at some point during the World Series. I mean, Greinke comes in for about 3 innings. He's not going to go any deeper than that. So to me, that's kind of a coin flip, right? The starting pitching, basically a coin flip. I don't think the hitting is a coin flip. I think that's clearly on the side of the Astros. So I am going to go Astros in 7. I think we get a nice dramatic series.
All right. Hope so.
All right. Our last question of the day. There was a 3.6 magnitude earthquake just outside Los Angeles the other day, and it got us thinking, have we ever experienced earthquakes? So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. You have felt an earthquake. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I have never felt an earthquake. I live in an area that never has earthquakes. If there is any kind of, I guess that's actually not true. There was like kind of a famous earthquake in Missouri before I was born, but it was like a really big deal when it happened. But just in general, we don't have them here because we are so far away from the tectonic plates. It's a huge occurrence. Like, if there's an earthquake in Kansas, Missouri, or Oklahoma, it's like a huge deal that gets talked about forever. I've never felt an earthquake. I have, though, if we're talking about severe weather specific to our localities, I have, you know, seen a tornado, quote-unquote, been in a tornado, seen the after effects of tornadoes, seen them in person, been very close to buildings and stuff damaged by tornadoes. So fantasy, I have not felt an earthquake. Wondering, Craig, though, in addition to this, what's your experience with tornadoes been like?
Yeah, so I'll start. First of all, this is a reality. I have felt an earthquake many years ago. I have family and friends that live in the Bay Area in San Francisco, and as bad luck would have it, or, you know, good luck, I guess, in the end, I was out there, and I was at one of my family members' houses, and I felt ridiculously tremors, and everyone in the house started screaming. This goes back to like 20 years, Davis. And in the end, there was a 5.1 earthquake that did a little bit of damage in the Bay Area. And I just happened to be in California at that time, as luck would have it. But I remember it being very scary. And I remember the house like shaking and moving. And then a couple of like plates fell off and did break. So this is a reality for sure for me. As far as a tornado, as you mentioned, that's a fantasy. As far as a hurricane, oh my gosh, like I'm the expert here. I live in Florida. So like what I mean, I've been through right. Like a million hurricanes, ones that I've been at home, ones that I had to leave, ones that had no power for a week, ones that we did have power. So I'm the hurricane expert as far as living in South Florida with that. But no, Davis, a tornado, no. I would say hurricane-wise, scary, but you know it's coming, so you could prepare. Tornado-wise, a little bit of preparation, right, Davis? A little bit that you know, but earthquake, oh my gosh, you're just there and boom, it's happening. You know, like that's the scary part about that.
Yeah, I mean, in general, natural disasters are terrifying for everyone because, you know, it's humans, we love to have control. You just have no control. You don't know where a tornado is going to go. You don't know how bad the hurricane is going to be. You don't know if you're going to have power or you're not going to have power. You don't know if you're going to have water or not have water. You know, you just simply, that is like what is most terrifying about natural disasters for us. I mean, obviously the impacts of them are terrifying, like watching, you know, whole buildings get leveled and stuff. But just the idea of like, is this tornado going to hit my house? Is it not going to hit my house? Is the hurricane going to knock out the power? Is it not going to knock out the power? Like that is the terrifying element.
Yeah, especially with the hurricane versions, with the water, that's always the concern. Living around the water, how much water is going to be around? But just thought we'd do natural disasters as we end the show today. Okay, well, coming up on tomorrow's show, I'll be in with George Kurtz. We'll preview the World Series. We'll bring Brett back on the show. We'll do a little NBA DFS. And then on Wednesday, my day off is Wednesday, so Davis will be back with George to recap Game 1 of the World Series and preview Game 2 and do a little NBA as well. But coming up next, we've got the Sports Grid 60, so Davis will handle that for me today. That's next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. And then, of course, don't forget, coming up a little bit later, we got Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast, giving you previews of everything happening in the NBA and the NHL, and, of course, Monday Night Football. So stay with us. More to come here on Fantasy Sports Today as we wrap it up here on this Monday afternoon. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I decided to go ahead and kick Craig Mish out. I told him to leave the show early because I wanted to talk about NBA DFS tonight on FanDuel and DraftKings. We have a pretty interesting 9-game slate in front of us. Of course, you know, already in the season, we are dealing with a fair number of injuries, which always, you know, you always need to make sure to check injuries before the slate. But I just wanted to highlight a couple guys that I really think are strong plays tonight. One of them is going to be LaMelo Ball against Boston. Terry Rozier is listed as questionable for this game against Boston. LaMelo played only 26 minutes in the Hornets last game, so some weird things going on with his minutes there. Part of that, that stuff is going to be kind of random inside of the game, but I think he looks pretty strong. I also think Jimmy Butler against the Orlando Magic and his teammate Tyler Herro. So Kyle Lowry missed the Miami Heat's most recent game. Herro had a huge game there, 35 fantasy points. Butler had an okay game, scoring 40 fantasy points. Maybe not quite what we would have expected. But the note I wanted to make was that even if Kyle Lowry returns, I feel as if the days of Kyle Lowry, you know, handling all of that usage, being able to be the primary creator for a team, I feel like those days might be a little bit behind him. And then I wanted to leave with my favorite game stack of the day, which is going to be the Washington Wizards at the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden, horribly slow start to the year, so Kevin Durant has been phenomenal. The Nets have also not been that strong on defense, so that's going to mean guys like Spencer Dinwiddie are definitely going to be in play. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you know, some of these secondary Washington Wizards players. So if you guys are wanting to get some free projections, free optimizing tools for the NBA, head on over to dailyroto.com. You can get all of that stuff for free. Everyone, thank you very much for watching Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I will not be on the show tomorrow, replaced by George Kurtz. I will be back on Wednesday. Thanks to everyone at LTN. Thank you to Brett. Everyone, stay on the grid and watch Sports Grid for the rest of your day.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.